Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Well, whether it's a binge eating or cutting back on food, have you ever had a toxic relationship with food? And how do you go about creating a healthy one? 53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch with us here on the programme today. Nutritional therapist Fawn Clark is with us to discuss. Fawn, we might come to some listeners' questions maybe in a few moments' time, but could you just maybe tell us about your own experience, first of all?
I will. Firstly, thanks, Andrea, for having me on the show. So, in my late teens, I suppose I got into the habit of dieting, not eating quite enough. And then about in my early 20s, I switched and I started getting overwhelming urges to binge eat. It was nearly like I was periodically taken over by something and I just had to eat large amounts of food and, you know, go through it until the craving passed. And I went through most of my 20s like that, not understanding why or what caused it, thinking that it was lack of willpower, lack of discipline, that there was something wrong with me. And it just led to an awful lot of suffering. So that, in a nutshell, is my story.
And how did you go about addressing that, Fawn?
So I tried lots of things. You know, I studied nutrition thinking that would help. And although while it was interesting and helpful, it didn't really get to the root of my issue. I did a degree in psychology thinking that might help. And that, again, was helpful, but it didn't get there. And I stayed at Buddhist centres and I thought, you know, if I could just be with myself, it might help me. And while those were all useful, what really helped in the end was coming to understand that it was the addictive nature of food, the addictive nature of sugar, and how I went to a treatment centre, actually, in the end, for food addiction. And learned there that certain foods or a certain way of thinking or no structure around meal times or getting too hungry or even eating too much can trigger this overwhelming urge to compulsively overeat.
Does it boil down to a lot of us just not maybe being aware or not knowing, just maybe a lack of understanding around the relationship we have with food?
Yeah, I suppose it's a continuum, Andrea. Like, you know, I suppose everyone overeats to a certain extent. So at what point that it really becomes a problem in our life is the thing, you know, and everyone's different there, you know. So I think there is a huge lack of awareness around, you know, people understand nowadays that cigarettes are very addictive. But back in the, you know, in the 50s, people weren't so aware and everyone smoked, or a lot more people smoked. And I think it's actually the same now for sugar, you know. We don't realise fully how addictive it is until we try to stop. And I think this becomes apparent to a lot of people. You know, they sort of get through their 20s and 30s thinking, you know, I will stop eventually, I'll stop eating this way. And then it's when they try to stop or when there's a real health concern or when maybe they're told they're morbidly obese or, you know, if they suddenly realise they can't stick to a diet or, you know, after a while there is. And that's when they realise, geez, I can't actually stop. You know, I can't stop eating this way.
What's your advice to people, to me, to a lot of us listening to you today? I'll come to some of the questions in a moment, Fawn, on how to create a healthier relationship with food, how to make those changes.
What's my advice on how to? Well, the degree to which you may need to make changes will depend on how, I suppose, how powerless you are over food and how strong the compulsion is to overeat. Okay, so I don't treat everyone the same, but generally speaking, you know, some structure around meal times. You know, some people can't trust their intuition around being hungry or full, and it's not a reliable guide. You know, so for me, for example, I couldn't trust when I was hungry or full because I never really knew. You know, and so I would try and not start eating, so I wouldn't have breakfast, then I'd make it maybe to 11 o'clock and then I'd start eating and then that would be into lunch and then I'd be eating all afternoon, you know. There was no structure around my meal time. So one thing that really helped me was having some, you know, this is breakfast, lunch and dinner, and having a beginning and an end to those meals.
Three square meals.
I know it's so simple, but it's not really when you try to do it. And the other thing then is cutting out the things that trigger craving for more, you know. So for most of us, that's sugary, you know, high sugar, high fat foods. But other people don't really have a taste for sugar. It's more, you know, things like crisps and chips and more savory things, but usually high fat. And not that I'm not in favor of eating fats. I'm totally in favor of eating fats, but it's the combination of fats and sugar that is the problem.
Okay.
And the side of fats.
Can I ask you, just some of our listeners got in touch with us with questions for you, Fawn. Maybe just looking for a little bit of advice. This texter says, just regarding your nutritionist, can you please ask what's the best way to deal with a 16-year-old male teenager that's underweight, has a poor appetite, he wouldn't be stuck in the fridge 24/7. Is there perhaps a supplement or something you could recommend?
For a teenager that's underweight? Well, a very good multivitamin is a very good place to start. Some good, like Biocare, Solgar, do good quality multivitamins. I know teenagers are notoriously difficult to feed, because you can't, at that point, you don't have really much control. I think the best thing is to model good eating habits yourself as a parent. And hopefully by the time they get to their early 20s, that they'll, you know, that'll kick in and they'll follow suit. But in the meantime, but I don't know how you get a 16-year-old if they weren't going to eat to take a multivitamin. So
yeah,
the best case, you know, you might just have to model it yourself and have regular meals at home, eat well, you know, and that would be where I would start.
Another texter wondering about portion control and how important is that?
It's important. Some people need it and others don't. So some people seem to be able to, once they avoid sugar and get into the habit of eating three meals a day, they're able to portion their food themselves. But say you have a real issue with maybe obesity and you really can't get your weight down and your meals become sort of three binges in the day, well, then some sort of boundaries around portion control really, really help. Actually, equally for somebody who's very underweight, who's sort of prone to sort of anorexic type tendencies, who wants to get out of that, portion control can be really helpful for the other reason, to keep them at a certain weight. So when I'm working with people, I do recommend portion sizes, but I adapt it to everybody according to their metabolism and their activity level. So, you know, I can't just give a generic, well, this is a portion. You know?
Another texter wondering as well, Fawn, about, you know, this texter says, I've put on weight during the pandemic. I'm not happy with myself and my figure at the minute. Is there anything I can do to kind of just kickstart the diet or weight loss process?
Okay, so I'm about sort of changing it, like a real lifestyle style shift. You know, I don't know that diets work particularly well for the majority of us. You know, a shift is required, and a consciousness around what we eat and when we eat needs to come into our lives, you know, and we need to be quite precise and deliberate about what we're eating. Otherwise, we sort of unconsciously slip back into, you know, eating more than we need. So, you know, a good way to start would be to be consciously having, like I said, sticking to your three meals a day and you know, having some boundary around, you know, around how much you have at each meal. You know, make sure you include a protein at each meal, good fat at each meal, plenty of vegetables, and a small serving of carbohydrates. You know, so as a rough guide,
yeah,
you know, maybe a cup of carbohydrates, because those are things that will cause a blood sugar spike and cause you to release insulin, which can put on weight, and also cause you to be hungrier later on.
Okay.
So whilst I'm not, again, if you want to go low carb, that's fine. But most people I work with aren't on low carb diets. But definitely, you know, changing the plate from mainly carbs to just a little bit of carbs and much more veg is the way I would go.
Good stuff. All right. Nutritional therapist Fawn Clark, thanks for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.